And we call it circles, managing the relationships of your life. And what I have learned, that what you don't manage, manages you. Have you noticed that about life? You know, if you don't plan, you're making a plan to fail already. I mean, whatever you don't take control of will take control of you. So you have to manage your relationships. You have to build circles. And the whole concept of this is that we're learning how to build circles of relationships so that we don't box people out of our lives. A lot of times we build boxes to keep people out. What God wants us to do is build circles to include people in. But you have to have priorities of relationships. Not everybody can be your best friend. Not everybody can be your spouse. How many, you know, you only have one spouse in America? I'm so glad. Can you imagine Mark having five lists of honeydews to do? We don't even get the ones we got done. But you know, you have to limit your relationships. You can only have so many kids. Amen? Some need to learn that. But anyway, moving right along. So there are circles of relationships. But our whole premise of the whole thing is that it begins with our core. See, Proverbs says, above all that you guard, guard your heart. For out of it are the wellsprings of life. You live out of your heart. You live out of your inside. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you live by your heart. You're driven by whatever is in your heart to abundance. If there's bad things in your heart, guess what's happening in your life? Bad things. If God is in your heart, guess what? And you're living out of that, guess what? It makes a difference in the way that you live. It makes a difference in your relationships. It makes a difference in what you choose to do. It just affects so many different things. So the Bible tells us that above all that we guard our hearts, for out of it flow the issues of life. So we have learned about this relationship has to start with God if we do it right. In the first week that we talked about learning to live loved. Learning to know that God loves us unconditionally. That He loves us no matter what. God loves you if you choose to reject Him. God loves you if you choose to go to hell. Did you know that? God gave you a choice. He loves you, but He gives you choices in your life. You live with the consequences of the things that you choose in this life. And God respects that. And God allows you to do that. And He loves even people who go to hell. You say, well, if He loves people, why does He send them to hell? He doesn't. He just carries out our choices. And when we choose to reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we refuse to have God in our lives. When we die in eternity, guess what? He carries that choice out. We're separated from God because we chose to be separated from God. And He carries out the thing that we choose. But He still loves us. Now, you say, why is that important to know that? Why is that important that we learn to live love? Because if we can learn that God loves us unconditionally, and it flows out of our heart, our other relationships will be based on unconditional love. You'll love your spouse unconditionally. You'll love your children unconditionally. See, if we make our children earn our love, guess what? We're producing dysfunctional children. Our children should not have to earn our love. You ought to love your children unconditionally. You ought to love your family unconditionally. You ought to love your friends unconditionally. Because God loves us unconditionally. Now that doesn't mean that we don't have boundaries. We don't have to make choices. Because we do. We have to make all kinds of choices in our life. The second part of it that we talked about is choosing to love God back. God loves us, but guess what? We have to choose to love Him. What is the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And we talked about what it means to choose to love God back. Just because God loves you don't mean that you love God. Have you ever loved somebody that didn't return your love? Did you ever have a crush on somebody? Did you ever see somebody that, oh, I love her, but she didn't love you back? Well, God loves us. Do you love Him back? And what does that mean? And what does that look like? Then the third week we talked about, actually it was the fourth week, we talked about learning to live in fellowship with God. See, there's a difference in having a relationship. There's a lot of people who are connected through the covenant of marriage, and they have that relationship, but they have no communication. They don't communicate. What's wrong with that marriage? It's dysfunctional because it's not based on fellowship. It's not based on communication. And there are people who are related by blood, parents in their children. And they are related by blood, but they have no connection. They have no fellowship. They have no communication. And what does that produce? It produces a dysfunctional family. So what we learn to do is out of our relationship with God, learning to live love, choosing to love Him, and living in a fellowship with Him, we learn how to base all of the rest of our relationships in our life. If that is the thing that drives your life, guess what? You can have healthy relationships. You can have healthy marriages. You can raise healthy children. You can have healthy friendships. And things can go better in your life. So today we're talking about friends. Here's a couple of friends up here. Where you see one, you see the other. They're joined at the hip. They are friends. They're really, really, really good friends. But I want to start today with a couple of friendship quotes. Now here's a good example of a bad friend, okay? It says, "Do not use a hatchet to remove a fly from your friend's forehead." Yeah, how many need a friend like that? Do not use a hatchet to remove a fly from your friend's forehead. But I like this one. It says, "A friend is someone who sees through you and still enjoys the view." A friend is someone who sees through you and still enjoys the view. A real friend will see what you're really like. You know, we have this that we put out here. And a friend will see what you're really like and still like you. They'll still enjoy you. They will accept you for who you are. So we're going to talk about the circles of our friendships. I like the quote. It says, "They drew a box to keep me out, but love had the wit to win. It drew a circle that let me in." So what we're trying to do is learn how to draw circles in our life that includes people in our lives and does not push people away, does not exclude people from our life. See, we are called by God to love people. Okay? You're called by God to live beyond just your family unit. A lot of people, they rarely ever get out beyond their family unit or maybe a few friends. But God wants you to have lots of friends. And we're going to talk about friendship, and we're going to talk about levels of friendship. Then we're going to talk about how to manage those friendships. But I want to read a scripture found today in John chapter 15 in verse 15. If you got your Bible and want to turn there. And this is Jesus talking to His disciples. He says, "No longer do I call you servants." Now Jesus came to show us what the Father is really like. Have you ever read the Old Testament and then read the New Testament and think there's two different gods? It's the same God. Jesus came to show us the real heart of the Father God. That's what He came to show us. And He says this, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends." Everybody say friends. "For all the things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." See, Jesus came and says, "I don't want just a master-servant relationship." Now, He is our master, isn't He? He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our King. He is so many things in our life. But the thing that He says, I want you to understand something. This is not going to be a relationship where you're just going to be considered a servant. I want you to understand, I'm calling you my friend. I want a friendship with you. We're the ones that choose to make Him our master. We're the ones who bow our hearts to Him and become His servant. But it's based on friendship, not just lordship, not just a mastery, not just somebody that just like a king and a slave. But that's not the kind of relationship that He's talking about. So He says, I want you to understand this. I want you to be my friend. See, all of our friendship should flow out of our core, shaped by this friendship that we have with God. We need to learn, knowing that we're loved, choosing to love back, and living in fellowship with God every day, we should learn about friendship with God. We should learn how to be friends with God. And this needs to be the driving force on what kind of friend we are to the people that we come in contact with. Because I believe that God wants us to be influential in this life in which we live. The highest thing that you can do, the best way that you can bring glory to God in this life, and that's what you're called to do above all else, is to glorify God, to bring Him joy by glorifying Him, is for you to be an influencer of people. An influencer of people. See, life is not just about you, it's about others. It's not just about you being happy. It's about you influencing other people. And we say this all the time, it's not about me. It's about people. And that's what we need to keep in mind. Yeah, God will take care of us. In fact, He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, all the stuff that you need in life will be added to you. But if all you ever seek is the stuff to be added to you, you'll miss the whole thing. When we make it about not us, we make it about the kingdom and what God's about, He'll take care of the minutiae. He'll take care of all of the minor stuff about what we're going to eat and where we're going to live and what we're going to wear, what we're going to drive. He'll take care of that. We worry way too much about stuff and we care far too little about people. God wants to change that in our lives. God wants us to be more people-oriented than we are stuff-oriented. So all of these relationships that we have should flow out of this friendship that we have with God. Our friendship with people flows out of our core. Learning to live daily in relationship with God should influence the way that we are friends. Now there are five Greek words in the New Testament that are translated friend. And I want to talk about those for just a moment. And then we're going to talk about how do we manage and how do we choose, because there are different kinds of friendships that we have. Not everybody is equally friends in relationships. You have close friends and you have distant friends. And that's okay. Not everybody can be your best friend forever. Is that BFF? BFF. BFF. That's my BFF. You know, I notice people sometimes that this week, this person's their BFF, and the next week, this person's their BFF. Best friends forever? For now, yeah. Best friends for now, this moment. Okay, so there are different levels of friendships. Okay, the first Greek word is the word agapetos. I may not be saying that right. I'm not a Greek scholar. Agapetos. One of the ways that this is used is at the baptism of Jesus, when God the Father is talking. Y'all look at me now. Okay. Babies are cute. Look at me. When this is used, it's used at the baptism of Jesus. And the Father speaks from heaven. He says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the word is agapetos. The word beloved is agapetos. And it's translated beloved, and in one place it's translated beloved friend. In fact, when Jesus one time referred to his disciples as their beloved friends. So the beloved friend, this is your close friend. This is your favorite friend. This is your best friend. This is closeness. Now, this is not family. This is a dear, dear friend. In fact, in Romans 1:7, Paul says, to all in Rome who are agapetos by God, beloved of God, best friends with God. Guess what? God is your best friend. Can you say that with me? God is my best friend. Say that. God is my best friend. He wants to be your best friend. Now, God can be best friends with everybody. You can't be best friends with everybody, but God can, because He's smarter than you are. He's bigger than you are. He is omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's all of those omni stuff. And He can do it, but you can't, because you're not omni nothing. You're pretty limited. But see, God can do that. And He says to all who are in Rome, loved of God, best friend. He says, you're my best friend. So this describes a very, very dear, close, favorite friend. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a best friend? And I want you to think in your mind, who is your best? I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about your kin folks. Who is your best friend? Some people have best friends. I don't have a best friend. I can't think of anybody that just jumps to my mind and say, this person is my best friend. I just don't have that. But sometimes people have what they call their favorite best friend. I mean, that when you get in trouble, that's who you go to. When you need support, that's who you go to. Then the second Greek word is the word philos. We get the word Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. So this is what this has to do with. And the ideal in this word is a helping and caring relationship between two people. Two people who care about each other. Now, these are not your bestie. This is not the bestie relationship. This is the next level out. Okay? You like being with your best friend. But this person you care about, and you have mutual things going on between you. And it's a companion. It could be somebody you work with. It could be somebody that you go to church with. It could just be all kinds. Maybe you go to school with. But they're a friend. They're a dear friend. And you have a love for this person. Then the third Greek word is the word adelphos, which means a brother or an associate. It could be talking about a natural blood kin brother, or it's someone of the same nationality. My fellow Americans. See, we're Americans, We're friends that way. So it's more of a general friendship. It's not like a somebody that you're interacting with, and it's definitely not a best friend, but it's this level of friendship. It's a different circle of friendships. See, you have to manage your relationship. You have to be careful about what people are in what circle. There's some circles. I've got a circle that only one person can be in, and that's my spouse. I've got another circle that family fits into. Then I have another circle that different kinds of friends fit into. And it's my responsibility to manage those circles in my life. But listen, I need multiple circles of friends. See, I don't understand, and maybe this is dysfunctional. I'm not a psychiatrist, and I don't understand this. But I know people that they can only have one friend. They got best friend. And if that friend talks to anybody else, they're jealous. I don't think that's healthy. In fact, I think that's plumb dysfunctional. I'm not a psychiatrist, I don't know. And if that's you, I'm not judging you. I just don't, that don't to me sound like you can glorify God if all you have is one friend. You may have one best friend, but listen, you can have another tier of friendships of people that you have mutual interaction in their life. You're a companion, you're an associate with this friend. And then there's this other friendship that you might have. It's somebody that you're acquainted with and you have a little bit more distant friendship. Then there is another level of friendship, and this is an interesting word. It's a gnostos, G-N-O-S-T-O-S. We get our word knowledge out of that. And the ideal here is somebody that you are acquainted with. This is an acquaintance. This is somebody that you know, they're notable, and you know them and you're acquainted with them, but you really don't have a big relationship with them. I mean, I have friends here in town. I mean, I know most of our city officials and, you know, I know the mayor and the county judge and the judges and I consider them to be my friends, but they're more like, I don't hang out with them. We don't go to Western Sizzling and eat together, but I know them and they know me. When I see them, I can call them by name. They see me, they call by my name. If I need something, I can go to them or they can come to me. But we're friends, but it's a different level of friendship. It's a different circle. And the closer in the circle, the more influence that you have in their lives and the more influence that they have in your lives. Then there is another one that I really, really think is interesting. I need to borrow somebody. I need to borrow a child. Do we have any? See, we're not supposed to have children. I mean, we don't have children. A smaller child. No, that's not a child. I need a kid about this size. Is he asleep? Will he come up here? Will you come up here and see me? I need a kid that'll come up here and I need to borrow. We got a kid somewhere I can borrow. I need to borrow a kid. Huh? I need to borrow a kid. Man, I had a kid that was brave enough to do that in the first service. Wow. Wow. Go in children's church and borrow me a kid. Would you please do that? Tell Miss Nancy I need to borrow a kid because all of these out here are weenies. Yeah, well, you're a kid and never mind. But this last word is the word paideon. Paideon. You remember the story in the New Testament? There was a crowd of adults around Jesus and these little kids tried to come up to Jesus and the disciples rebuked them. Basically said, get away. Jesus don't have time for you. And Jesus rebuked the disciples. And you know what he said? He said, suffer the little children. And that's that word, paideon. Come on up here, bub. To come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Take my hand here. For such is the kingdom of God. You're going to help me preach. Is that okay? Is that cool? Okay. You're going to help me preach. Jesus, referring to his disciples one time, called them my little children, the paideon. Now, when you talk to a kid, do you talk to them like this right here? Or what do? Tell them what your name is.
Kelby.
This is Kelby. How old are you, Kelby?
Eight.
You're eight? Are you married or you take your lunch to school?
What does that even matter?
Oh, what does that matter? Where do you go to school?
To learn.
Oh, you go, where do you go?
Southside.
Southside. Is that the best school there is?
Yeah.
In all the world?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Good deal. Give me five. All right. And the Bible says that Jesus stopped. He let the adults stand to the side and he says he blessed the children. Let's give Kelby a good hand. He's brave. Let me ask you a question. Can we include children in our realm of friendship? Should we include children in our realm of friendship as adults? How many children do you know? Chris quoted the, was it 24 million children live in single parent homes that do not have a father? Some of them do not have a mother. You don't know what some of these kids that come to this church, what their home conditions are like. They may have a father in their home who ignores them. What about our friendship that even includes children? One of the big reasons I stand out front is not only to high-five you and shake your hands, but it's to talk to these kids too. And if you get mad at me for ignoring you for a minute while I give a little baby a hug or a little kid a hug, you got a problem. I got three little girls right that over here. They see me and they come running and I stop whatever I'm talking to. And I get down and we do a big old group hug. Why? I want them to know that their pastor is their friend. I want them to know that they're loved not only by me but by God. And there's a positive influence in their life that's here. And that they are important. They're just as important as the adults that come here. Their pastor's their friend. You say, well, that's your job. How about your job? They might need a granny. They might need a grandpa. They might just need somebody to, you know, don't look at them like this. Get down. Say, hey, bub, what's up? What's up with your bad self today? Get down there and talk to them. Hug on them. Love on them. Make them feel important. Do you know that so many of our children, when they get out of high school, they drop out of church and they don't go back. I wonder why that is. Maybe because they were neglected. Maybe they felt like the church didn't meet their needs. I don't want anybody to be able to say that. Do I have time for children to be my friends? You bet I do. What are we about? We are about people. Managing our circles of friendships. Okay, what do we do with the friend relationships? How do we manage those? Well, number one is that we manage. If you do not manage friendships, those friendships will manage you. Okay? There are tiers of friendship. We've talked about those tiers of friendship. We talked about the close friend, the acquaintance, the people that you know that you have commonality with, and then those that you're acquainted with and notable with, and then there's the little children. Those are all realms of friendships that needs to be managed, but we do have to manage. Therefore, when we talk about managing, guess what we have to do? We have to set boundaries. We have to set boundaries. There are no friendships that I will allow to come between me and my spouse. None. Zero. If a friend tries to come between me and my spouse, guess what? We can't be friends anymore. Or your friendship is going to be moved to a far circle. Can I say something to you about your friends? Now, stick your finger in your kids' ears, because I'm going to say something pretty. This is an adult service. This is not a children's service. That's why we have children's church over here for kids. So I'm going to say some adult things. Don't discuss your private life with your friends. I'm talking about your intimate life. It is not wise to do that. Ladies, do not discuss your intimate life about you and your husband with your friends. Men, don't discuss that with your friends. You're setting yourself up for your friend to have to deal with stuff that they don't need to deal with. Am I telling that good? You could plant a seed. Now, I can't tell you how many times marriages have broken up over the best friend. And I wonder sometimes, is it because that there's things that's going on verbally between these friends that sets that situation up? There is no relationship that you have that's any more important than the husband-wife relationship. And there's things that are taboo. There's boundaries that we do not need to cross when it comes to our friendship. They cannot intrude into that family boundary. So we have to manage and set boundaries for friendships. You have to determine this person in your life that you call them friend and they call you friend. You have to determine what is the level of this friendship. If this is a male or a female. I have male friends and I have female friends. I said, I don't have a close friend. I don't have a need for a best buddy. I don't have time for a best buddy. I got too much going on. But I have lots and lots of friends. You're my friends. I have all kinds of friends on different relationships. I have friends that I work with and interact with. But we have to have the right boundaries for those friendships. Otherwise, they can get out of control. There can be some managing issues where things happen that don't need to be happening that can cause you to waste time and not accomplish the purposes for which you are called to accomplish. Okay? Then the second thing is that we need to, in managing these, we need to ask ourselves three questions. Now, write this down. Write this down somewhere. Who am I around? Who am I around? You got to evaluate friendships. Who am I around? Is it constructive or destructive? Okay? Am I adding value or am I not adding value? Are they adding value or not adding value? So we have to evaluate our friendships. You have to manage them. Then the second thing in this is that we have to ask this question. What are they doing to me? What is this friendship doing to me? Where do they have me going? Let's ask these questions. Where do they have me going? What do they have me doing? What do they have me thinking about? What do they have me reading? What do they have me listening to? What do they have me talking about? How do they make me feel? What do they have me saying? You have to manage these relationships. See, I want friendships. I want mutual friendships. I want people who will stretch my friendship, who will stretch me as a person. Let me tell you something. There are people who call themselves your friends that are not really your friend. I get mad sometimes. I read too much Facebook. But I communicate with it. But I see sometimes so-and-so is in this relationship. And you see, and you know the people and you know the situation and it's destructive. I mean, it's destructive and you see in all these people, oh, I'm so glad for you and Harvey and, you know, I'm just so tickled and, you know, and they're killing each other. And these friends are telling them, oh, we're just so happy for you and. Sometimes you need a friend to say, you know what, dude? You need to get your head out of the sand and look at what you're doing. A real friend will hurt your feelings sometimes. I've had people say to me, that sermon stunk. I'm thinking, why? I didn't want to hear that. But they weren't trying to be mean. They're trying to be my friend. Friends will tell you the truth. The rest of them are just blowing smoke up your drawer tail. That's not friendship. How are they influencing me? What have they got me thinking about? What have they got me listening to? What have they got me reading? Where do they have me going? How do they have me feeling? When I'm with this person, do I go away just feeling, Guess what? I need to evaluate how much time. Now, they can be my friend, but I'm going to evaluate how much of my time that they can occupy. Because, listen, I've got a job to do. I've got things to accomplish. I've got a God to glorify. And I can't allow a friendship to pull me away from that. Now, my job is to help people. And part of my friendship is trying my best to help people. But I have to evaluate all of that. Then I have to ask myself the final question in this evaluation. Is this friendship okay? If it's okay, then I can develop it. If it's not okay, then guess what? I need to move it to a different level of friendship. I have to push it further away from the inner circle. I had a guy say, Pastor, I'd like to hang out with you, be your friend. And I'm thinking, well, dude, you need to get interested in what I'm interested in. Let me tell you what my life revolves around. First of all, my relationship with God. Secondly, my relationship with my family. And thirdly, this church. And if you're not interested in this church and passionate about these things, we can be friends, but it's going to be way out here. And the people that try to get close to me, the best way to get close to me, and not that that's a big deal, but you got to be passionate what I'm passionate about, because I got a job to do. I need friends around me that can help me accomplish the task that I'm called to do. I'm task driven. I'm people oriented, but I'm task driven. We got a job to do. And my life centers around these things. So I have to ask myself the question, is this friendship okay, or is it going to have to be a more distant friendship? You've got to do the same thing. If it's hurting your marriage, guess what you need to do? You need to push it further away. If it's adding value to you, or you're adding value to that person, guess what? It can develop. Then it's okay. But if it's not okay, yeah, but we've been friends a long time. That don't matter. Listen, bottom line, you get to live this life one time. You came here with purpose. One of these days, you're going to stand before God and He's going to say, what I put in your life is my gift to you. Now, I'm going to look and see what you did, because what you did with your life is your gift to me. And you're going to answer to God, not heaven and hell. You're going to answer to God about what you did with the gift that He gave you. Well, Lord, I had this friend and they wouldn't, you know, they took up all my time and I couldn't do this because, and God's going to say, what's more important? What relationship is more important? Mine and your relationship, or your and theirs relationship? And you'll have to say, well, I guess it was not me and you, was it? Sometimes you have to make some hard decisions about friendships, how much you allow them to develop, and where you allow them to go. This is called circles. Then, here's another aspect of friendships. They need to be two kinds. Mentoring, where you are being mentored, and where you are mentoring. I want to ask you a question. Right now, today, I'm going to ask you, who is your mentor? Could you answer that? Could you answer, who is it that's mentoring you right now? And if you don't know, or you say nobody, guess what? You need to establish some friendships. Then the second question is, who are you mentoring? What name popped to your mind? Who are you speaking into somebody else's life? You say, well, nobody. Guess what? You need to find somebody to mentor. See, you can only gain so much by study. You can only grow so far by your study. It's when you begin to apply what you know. When you begin to speak it into somebody else's life, you will come to a new level of growth that you've never had before. So you need somebody mentoring you, and at the same time, you need to mentor somebody. Lastly, It's mutuality. I love the Ecclesiastes 4:10 scripture that says this. It says, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? In other words, that there's a mutuality here. What do you supply for each other? Warmth. There's a mutuality in the friendship. It don't need to be a one-sided friendship where one person does all of the giving and one person does all of the taking, because that is dysfunctional. Okay? And there's power in friendship. Though one may be overwhelmed, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. There's something about friendships binding us together. We don't just become, we don't add strength, we multiply strength through our friendships. So we need to manage our friendships so that they're adding the greatest value to us and we are adding the greatest value to the people that we're in relationship with. I want to end, and Joe's getting ready to come, with this right here. Some people come into our lives and quickly go. You'll have friends that'll come into your life and they'll be friends and they'll add value to you for a while and then they'll go out of your life and you won't see them anymore. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Others stay a while, make footprints on your heart, and we're never ever the same again. That's a different kind of friend. Friends that what they impart to us, they give us something that causes us to be able to go on with our lives. Are friendships important? Absolutely. You need to choose friends. You need to choose them well. You need to manage those relationships because they are important. They will be the difference in success and failure. I believe that with all my heart. The people that you hang with, the people that you call friend, can add to you or they can take away from you. So manage them well. Amen.